Amen. Amen. So the Uproar Youth one, I just want to clarify because we had some technical glitching there. The Uproar Youth, we are looking for monthly sponsors for our youth. We are making an impact in changing this region. Pastor Cody and his teams are actually going into the schools and working with our schools. We are seeing transformation in our young people, but we need partners to partner with us monthly to make this consistent so that we can keep doing what God's doing. Today, yeah, this year we need some serious sponsor support because we're expecting over 1,000 people, and it could be 2,000, and we know how many the sanctuary seats. So we have to be prepared for overflow because God's going to bring it.
Brother Ted Shuttlesworth has been putting it on his program nationwide. And so the opportunity to blow out, Pastor Cody's been getting information and people signing up, people we've never even heard of. So it's going to be a tremendous, probably the best conference so far to date. It's going to be very, very exciting, and we're excited that you get to build and change lives with us. In Jesus' name. We also want to remind you to catch the vision. Everybody shout, catch the vision. You might not know how this church began. You need to hear all the miracles. Turn to someone and say, all the miracles. Right after this service, right in the room right on that side, classroom one, I'll be teaching what's called Catch the Vision. And it shares how this church began with five people in 1998. To where it is today, where we minister to over 1,100 people per week inside the building. It's a very exciting story to hear all the miracles Christ has done. So if you've not heard that, you need to catch the vision. Can I hear an amen? We'll meet you right after service, right around the corner.
We just want to welcome you today. If you're a guest in the house, if you could slip your hand up, we're not going to embarrass you. We have a gift for you, and we want to get connected with you. So if it's your first time and you are our guest today, just raise your hand up. Yes, thank you very much. We will get gifts right to you. Raise your hand up if you're new in the house. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'd like to welcome our live stream family. We have people all over the world watching right now via live stream. Thank you so much for connecting today and joining our online campus. There are hundreds of people right now while we're in this house joining us via live stream. So we want to say thank you and welcome. So at this time, we're going to enter into our time of tithes and offering. And today, I want to focus on our 90%. You know, we talk about the tithe and our 10%, but I want to focus on our 90%. When we obey, our 90% is supernaturally blessed. That is so exciting and so awesome to know that the 90% that I get to keep, that God has entrusted me to be a steward of, is completely supernaturally blessed. The devourer is rebuked on my behalf. Miracles, kingdom finances, things that we can't even imagine. When we obey with our tithe, our 90% is blessed. So let's stand to our feet, make our supernatural declaration, and obey so that we can enjoy the blessings in our 90%. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord.
Praise the Lord. What a great day, isn't it? I said, isn't it a great day? Some people have asked me, are we canceling the picnic if it's thundering and lightning? The answer is, nay, saith the Lord. We are in an enclosed building there, which means you might leave a little early because we can't play some games, but you get to meet people. Turn to someone and say, hello, neighbor. Come on, tell somebody else, good morning, neighbor. Many people do not even know the people sitting next to them, and you've been here many, many years. Turn to somebody you do not know around you. You don't have to stand up. Find somebody around you and say, what is your middle name anyways? Now ask them their first name because you don't even know what that is. I love His Tabernacle Family Church. You are the friendliest people. It is going to be so much fun hanging out with you forever and ever and ever. How many of you realize you got to spend eternity together? You might as well get to know each other now, amen? By the way, turn to somebody and say, don't be a snob, please. Don't be a snob. There are so many snobs in the kingdom. Well, you know, I just like to be by myself. Really? What are you going to do when you get to heaven? You'll be all messed up. You got to go sit in your own corner. How many of you were blessed by Pastor Rhonda's message last week? Woo! My. How many of you have watched it at least twice? You've watched it three times. Very good. How many of you have watched it twice? Twice. There we go. How many of you watched it at least once online? Here's your homework. Turn to someone and say, they gave me homework at church. Your homework is to watch that message again this week. You need to get that in your spirit because that is one of the number one derailments the devil works in your life. You got to know this. You got to understand this. It's got to be clear to your spirit. You cannot allow that message to escape you. This is the year of kingdom seed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is about kingdom seed. Why? Because seed is a principle of the kingdom of God that allows us to release and to have harvest in our lives that is intentional instead of accidental. And God wants you to be an intentional liver, not an accidental liver. You know what I was thought about? You know, I just said that, and I thought in my head, I just saw a liver. It's really just not a great word picture. Today, I want to talk about something that is so imperative when you're talking about the power of the seed. We've talked about time being seed. We've talked about ground, the different grounds. What's the other one? The mind being seed. Today, I want to start talking about the Word of God being seed. Now, I don't know about you. There's something that we've got to really lay hold of, and the enemy has been working diligently and successful in most believers' lives because most Christians do not read the Bible. Actually, most pastors don't read the Bible. Oh, the average pastor prays 5 minutes a day. And the average pastor doesn't pick up his Bible except if he has to do study for Sunday morning. That is a real issue. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So what has entered the body of Christ is a diminishing of the Word of God. Most Christians could not combat a Jehovah's Witness if they came to their house. Most believers don't even know what they believe. Boy, it's awful quiet in the house this morning. Can I near hear another amen? We use a lot of excuses. We're busy. We've got this. We've got that. But let me show you the results that you and I have to protect ourselves from. Today I want to talk about philosophical seed versus divine seed. And today we've got to tackle this, arrest it, bind it up, and cast it down. Can I hear an amen? When we're talking about divine seed, we're talking about the Word of God. Now, the verse for the year is found in Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, and it says this. It says, "You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall fail." Shall what? You're gonna what? Tell somebody, "I'm a tree. I got the Holy Ghost. That's the water. And I will prosper." You see, you've got to prophesy that to yourself sometimes. Can I hear an amen? Some of you got to start talking to your situations instead of allowing your situations to talk to you. You've got to speak to the Word of God. The Bible declares in Psalms 119, verse 60, it says this, "The very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever." You see, we have something happening in the colleges. We have something happening in the churches. And it's this. You can go to any college and you can take a philosophy and religion class. Pretty much all colleges have that. You'll study that and you'll study the different philosophers. You know, you can study, sit down, and they'll go over Pascal, they'll go over Newton, they'll go over Aristotle, Karl Marx, Dante, Plato, Confucius, Kant. And then I want to talk to you about some more philosophers. Jim, Jane, Larry, Terry, Pete, Mike, Linda, Jill. It's amazing when we don't know the Word of God that we become philosophers. What is philosophy? Philosophy is a set of ideas about how to do something or how to live. That's from the Webster's. But divine is different. Divine makes a declaration. It's related to or coming from God, big G. Many of us become our own philosophers. We live our own lifestyle. We live and plant our own seeds of philosophy. And God today wants to start arresting us to bring us back to the principle of the Word of God. Now, how many of you believe the Word of God is 100% inerrant? Whoa. Surprisingly enough, most church people do not any longer believe that God's Word is inerrant. Truth. Sorry, that's where inerrant means truth. Most Christians today sitting in churches do not believe that the story of creation is real. They do not believe in Noah's Ark. They do not believe in the Word of God. They believe that Jesus is a good guy that will save them, but what he has accomplished is no longer valid. Many believers have stepped out of divinity and stepped into philosophy. And God, today, if we're going to plant seeds of success, we have got to arrest the philosophical mindset of religion and go back to the Word of God that is true and yea and amen. Not one jot or tittle shall pass away before it all comes to fruition. God's Word is truth. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Philosophy is man's understanding of what they deduce as truth. And surprisingly enough, every one of us in this room deal with it. Every single one of us. There's not one person in this room that does not deal with our own philosophies. The challenge is we have got to learn to surrender our thought, our philosophy, and grab a hold of the Word of God and let God's Word be above our own style of thinking, our own philosophical ideals, so that God's Word, the seeds that are planted, that we may ascertain them, we may lay hold of them, we may plant them, and God's Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's Word is alive, and God's Word will change your life. The very essence of the words of God are truth. You see, this is what it all comes down to. What do you believe is truth? Truth is the deciding factor of your belief system. For how you believe is how you receive. The challenge is, so many of us will vacillate and many of us will stay onto the side of philosophy, how we deduce truth, how we understand truth, how I personally want to understand truth. And God is saying, your truth is not truth, for even the very greatest wisdom of man is the foolishness of God. This is why he gave us the Word. This is why he gave us the Bible, so that we could understand God's truth, which is above our truth. Oh, I can't hear you this morning. Can I hear an amen? We have got to choose to grab a hold of the truth. And the challenge is, so many of us would rather not, because it cramps our style. This is a challenge now. Can I hear an amen? Our style is, I want to do it my way. Our style is, well, I deduce it better this way. Our style is, ultimately, a philosophy. The difficulty is that is our philosophy cancels the Word of God. Now, if we're looking at philosophical seed versus divine seed, we're saying that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Don't be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So if we're sowing our philosophical truths, what are we going to receive? Well, the Bible is very clear on this in the book of Romans chapter 8, that the flesh is the enemy of God, and that God will not bless our flesh. Can I hear an amen? So there's a necessity to arrest philosophy and lay hold of the truth of the Word of God and start planting the Word in our life, for the Word is life to us. For the words that Jesus spoke, they are spirit, pneuma, and life, zoe, not the man kind of life, but the God kind of life, because you do not live, you are a visitor here, can I hear an amen, but you are part of the kingdom of God. So we are not governed by the world, we are governed by the Word. I gotta say that again. We are not governed by the world, we are governed by the Word. Nope. We have a king who has a constitution. The constitution is the Word of God. That means the kingdom runs by the... The kingdom runs by the... The kingdom runs by the... Not by philosophy. This is a challenge. Because I run across this on a consistent basis. Not a few times, I run across it all the time. And this is the challenge because as a pastor, our hearts are for you and I to lay hold of the Word. This is ultimately where the rubber meets the road. Are you ready? Just let me give you a few. I believe everyone goes to heaven. That's a philosophy where the Bible divine says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Philosophy. I don't believe there's a hell. Well, I want to tell you the divine seed says there's not only a hell, which is the holding tank, but it will erupt itself in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and vomit up those that are compiled there, and they will stand before the white throne judgment, and whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire, separated from God for all of eternity, never again have an opportunity. Well, you know, I don't believe you need to be faithful to church. Philosophy. Forsake not the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days, divine seed. I don't believe in tithing. Philosophy. Will a man rob God? How have we robbed you, God, with your tithe and your offering? Divine seed. Well, I don't believe healing is for everyone because Aunt Lucy died. Philosophy. For by his stripes you were healed is the divine seed of heaven. God's truth is everlasting to everlasting. I can live any way I want and still go to heaven. Philosophy. Jesus said, divine seed, if you love me, keep my commandments. See, we gotta grab ourselves because it's so easy for us to allow ourselves to vacillate towards the philosophical seed. Well, this is how I understand it. Well, this is what I believe. Who gives a flying leap what you believe? If we all have the right to generate our own Bible, then it makes a whole different story. But God is so clear in the book of Revelation. He said, if any man adds or any man subtracts, let all the curses of the book come upon him. There's only one word. It's the word of Almighty God. It's the word that is above all words. It is his word that is truth. Can I hear it? Amen. Or oh my. It's time to get out of the mindset of your philosophy of life and say, God, what does your word say? Because your word is life to me. I can't hear you this morning. You better start preaching back to me because I just don't know if we're going to get this. I just got to keep preaching longer and longer and longer because I want to make sure before you leave this building that the cow of philosophy is crucified and destroyed. You bury the beast because it's time to put the word of God in the pinnacle position that it belongs to be. It is God's word, not man's word. It is God's word, not a religion's word. It is God's word, not a church's word. It is not your word, it's God's word. And God's word is truth. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Every one of us got to say to ourselves, what are the philosophies that I have in my own head that are contrary to the scripture? And I tell you, we don't run around with signs saying, I'm anti-Bible. Especially when you go to church. Can you imagine if we all walked in with an anti-Bible sign? I'm anti-Bible when it comes to this. I'm anti-Bible when it comes to this. I'm anti-Bible when it comes to lying, cheating, stealing. I believe it's okay as long as it benefits somebody. I've heard it. Oh, it's okay to live with my boyfriend or my girlfriend because we love each other. It's okay to date a non-Christian because I feel the love. Well, it's okay to go out and get plastered every once in a while. Well, it's okay to show up to church once in a year. All right, I'll do it twice a year, Christmas and Easter. Well, I'm busy. Well, Pastor, you don't understand my life. Well, Pastor, you don't understand my situation. Well, Pastor, my pastor. Listen, don't talk to me about this. I didn't write the book. I didn't write it. Someone said to me not too long ago, well, you know, I don't agree with you. And I wrote back, it doesn't matter. I didn't write it. I love what Joel Osteen, Daddy Osteen made the declaration. He was a Baptist preacher, and he ended up sneaking into the back door of a Pentecostal service and got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues before he left. Well, he had a problem because now he's a pastor of a Baptist church, baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues who don't believe in it. He didn't last long in that church. And then he preached a whole series of messages, and it was just blame Jesus. Because Jesus said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you receive the promise of the Father. Jesus promised. He made the declaration. Go and receive power. And after you receive power, you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You see, it's not what we deduce. It's what the Word declares. And what I love about the Word of God, it is so clear that you don't have to do the dance. Well, you know, I'm just not sure. Let me tell you, it is sure. But my philosophy doesn't compile with it. Pastor, you just don't understand the situations of my life. Pastor, I really want to believe the Word, and I do believe the Word, but I'm still going to live this way. Don't tell me you believe in the Word. You believe more in your philosophy than you do the Word. Because what you believe is who you obey. Truth or not? Truth or not? Who you obey is who you believe the most in. So many of us would rather believe in our own philosophy because it makes us okay. And God is saying, no, you can't do that. Your philosophy is going to plant seeds of a harvest that you really don't want. Well, I want God's blessing in my life. You cannot live by philosophy and get God's blessing. Well, I don't know where God is. I know where He is, and He's not where you are. Because God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He doesn't need to conform to our philosophy. Aristotle had nothing on Jesus. So why do we believe we have something on Jesus? Well, you know, Pastor, I just believed this way. And that's what I've always believed. Well, that's okay. You can always believe that. But don't complain when you get the harvest that is not what you want. Pastor, you know, the financial problems I'm having in my life, do you tithe? No! Duh. I can't afford to tithe, duh. You can't afford not to tithe. Well, Pastor, I'm struggling so deeply with my faith. Do you go to church? No. Pastor, I go to church, but do you read your Bible? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Duh. Come on now, you see what I'm saying? We've actually deceived ourselves into believing that our philosophy will get us what we want for harvest. And it's a lie. Well, again, Pastor, my situation, your situation will never supersede God. And until you arrest yourself and put yourself in that posture, then you're just going to be a person of excuses, adhering to your own philosophy, which will get you a harvest that you hate. And yet you're going to sit back and whine and complain. This has nothing to do with God. This has to do with us. The seeds of the Word of God are amazing because God's seed is yea and amen. God's seed is 100% programmed for success. God's seed has everything we need in it. When you have a need, you should. When you have a need, you should. When you have a need, you should. Seed what? Well, it's all about money. No, 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 no. Well, if you have money problems, seed money. But if you have a relationship problems, seed a book. Read something. You know, most people, it's really funny. Most married folks that come to my office, they have marital problems. It's because they spend $8,000 to $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a car. They have a monthly payment of $400 to $500 a month. And they're going to throw that car away in 5 years, if not less. And then I look at them and say, how much did you spend on your marriage last year? Well, we went on vacation with all the children. When was the last time you were alone and looked into your bride's eyes and said, I love you? And then had great, amazing evening. Talking to the married only. Don't change your philosophy. This is where, again, we've got to get back to the Word of God. Listen, I'm almost done. I'm going to be done here before 10:15 this morning because I want you to hear this, and I want to be so concise and so clear. I want you to hear what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John chapter 11, verse 40, and Jesus responded, didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? Believe what? Believe the Word. Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the living Word wrapped in flesh. So what Jesus declared in red letter, you can say, bank on it. I know it's true. For Jesus said, the things I say are what the Father tells me. I only do what the Father tells me to do. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It's time to get back to the Word of God. It's time to get back to the Word of God. It's time to start seeding the Word of God. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, anything is possible if a person believes. Believes what? See, this is the key. Believes what? We are either going to believe our personal philosophies or the divine seed. When you believe the divine seed, you have heaven backing up the responsibility, for God said, yea and amen. But when you deduce your own philosophy, I hear it in the church, right? I'm almost done. Well, Pastor, you know, I've been sick for a while, and I believe that God is trying to teach me something. It's everything inside of me not to jump out of my skin. What? What are you talking about? Listen, all things work together for good to those who are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean all things are good. And sickness is never from God. Because if sickness is from God, then God is evil. And if God is evil, then he can't be God. That's the Word. But philosophy says, well, you know, I just know my situation, Pastor. Well, you keep knowing it because you're going to die. I'd rather have life than death. I'd rather have the Word than your philosophy. Because I don't know about you, I'm a lot smarter than I am right now at 50 years old than I was at 20. Anybody here at least 70? Wow, there's a lot of 70-year-olds. Are you smarter at 70 than you were at 20? Are you smarter at 70 than you were at 50? Of course you are. We're smarter because we've grown. The challenge is, even the greatest smartness that we have will never supersede the Word. So what are the philosophies in your own head that are validating your life that are contrary to Scripture? When they're contrary to the Word, you're still sowing. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So why have you allowed your philosophy to actually convince you that you can do anti-scripture and still get God's blessing? Ooh, this is a good pondering moment, isn't it? Selah. That's a scripture verse. I mean, everybody knows that's a word, right? It says, ponder this. Has anybody ever pondered? It goes like this. Guys with beards go like this. The baby's preaching right with me. Glory to God. A few more verses. You ready? John 8, verse 32. The truth will make you free. John 17:17. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. When life and choices come, every one of us have opportunity. What are we going to choose? Our philosophy or God's word? Now, I'm just going to tell you from my own life. I've tried both. One wins, one loses. And I want to remind you that your tree never affects just you. So every one of our philosophies that are anti-Bible, that we validate with our own philosophy, every one of them are going to produce a fruit on the tree that somebody will partake of, and they will use your philosophy to break down the word of God. And this is where the church is today. We have the hyper grace movement. We have that the Holy Ghost is no longer valid for today movement. We have all these movements that have perpetuated through the church world, that have taken the power of God out of the kingdom, that have taken holiness out of the kingdom. And it came because people did not know the Bible, they did not know the word, and therefore what they did, they adhered to a philosophy instead of the truth. It is the truth that will make you free, not a philosophy. Well, I asked forgiveness, but you still do it. Repentance is different from I'm sorry. I give this example. I'll be done here in a minute and a half. I give this example in Rock Solid Faith. For you who have not taken Rock Solid Faith, I just have one question. Why? You're crazy not taking Rock Solid Faith. It will change your whole life because you'll learn the truth. My uncle and I have been saved for how many years? 55 years? Been saved 55 years. They've learned more in the last 6 to 8 months that they've been here than they learned in all of the 55 years in Rock Solid Faith. Because I'm only going to give you the truth. So here's my question to you. What cow do you have running around your philosophy? Which one are you validating? Which one are you allowing in the pasture? It's crapping all over your good seed. Oh, it's not healthy crap. It's toxic. And it's going to destroy the seed that you already have planted. My question to you is, what have you allowed in philosophical mindset to destroy the Bible in your life? Because ultimately, that's what it does. Well, I'm not sure if I believe the Bible's true. Ready? Get your pen. Greenleaf. Look it up. It's free online. Harvard, one of the founders of Harvard University, proved the resurrection. If you prove the resurrection, you prove the Bible. Josh McDowell, evidence that demands a verdict. What's his name? Lee Strobel. I always forget his name. I don't know why. Poor guy. Lee Strobel's book on, what's it called? Case for Christ. You say you don't believe in the Bible, you read those three. If you don't read those three, then you still live in your own philosophy because you don't want to know the truth that will make you free. Ooh. Let me ask you a question, and we're going to end right now. What philosophy do you have risen above the word? You got to ask yourself. You got to be honest with yourself. You know, the hardest person to be honest with is us. Me, myself, and I. We can validate ourselves quicker than anybody else can. Make ourselves right. We can convince ourselves. Bow your head with me this morning. What is the philosophy in you that you have placed above the word? Now, let me show you what the Spirit of God is going to do this week. The Spirit of God is going to start revealing them to you. That's the supernatural part of the Bible. It's not just written text. It's alive. And so the Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance this message every time you say a philosophy or live a philosophy that is above the Scripture. And you and I are going to have a choice this week. Will we choose to live the Word, to speak the Word, or will we choose to allow our philosophy to cancel out the Word of God? See, the goal in this church is to grow you up. It's about time baby Christians stop being 20 years old in the kingdom. Amen or oh my. And it's time we start working the works of heaven. People need Jesus. Can I hear an amen? People need the Lord. People are lost. They don't know Christ. They're going to be lost for all of eternity until the church, unless the church steps up to the working of the kingdom of God. And that means we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. We've got to be living right ourselves. Some of you, I just want to say it again, should never be on Facebook. Your lifestyle on Facebook is so anti-scripture, and you don't even know it. I don't understand. But today I want to challenge you to start living right before God. It's not before me. It's not before a church. It's not before a religion. Before the King. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that every one of us that are struggling with a religious cow in our life, that are struggling with a philosophy that we have raised above you, that Jesus, you will convict us. Lord, that you'll reveal to us, that God will confess it in Jesus' name, that God will lay upon the altar and put that down and declare that, God, your word is above our own thinking, that Jesus will walk a life of obedience before you. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you heard the truth. The truth is simple. No man comes to the Father but through Jesus. No other religion, no other church, and I'm not talking church like this. I'm talking no other religion, no other denomination. It's not denominate. It's only one way. This church cannot save you. There's only one way to heaven. That's through the blood of Jesus. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and you'd like to receive him in your life, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone this morning that wants to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? You know there is something between you and God, and if you died right now, you're not sure if you'd go to heaven. You're not sure. You're hoping, but you're not sure. Today, if you want to make sure your life is right, get your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, over. Stand to your feet with me this morning. You're experiencing a miracle this morning. It is 10:22. Glory be to God. I believe anybody who says they don't believe in miracles, you just participated in one. Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over this church your word. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare that, God, everything we touch shall be blessed. I declare that we are trees planted by the water, whose leaf will never wither. Lord, our fruit will always come in due season. And God, whatever we touch shall prosper. I declare marriages to be saved and healed. I declare, God, people to be delivered from addictions in Jesus' name. I declare in Jesus' name every sickness and disease that's on the body of those who are in this room and watching by television. I rebuke that spirit of sickness in Jesus' name, come off the children of God. Lord, I declare joy of the Lord to be their strength and a step in their walk and a smile on their face and the gospel just erupting, ready to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Father, we give you honor and praise that today we represent heaven. And Lord, we give you the glory and the honor and say, we love you. And thank you that you loved us first. In the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted, shout, I'm blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. We love you. Have an awesome day. I want to remind you, if you're a guest, we'd love to meet you in the room on the other side. The prayer team's at the altar if you need anything for any ministry and prayer.